right, that was awesome. Thank you, guys. As the old pastor said, that doesn't light your fire, your kindling's wet, right? Just kidding. Dad's here today. I saw that to him and mom. Glad, always glad to get to be with him. Thank you, guys. That was great. And we are glad you chose to be here on this Easter Sunday with us. If you are a reader and you ever get into a good book, I mean a real good one, and there's several times in my life this has happened, not much, but there's several times where you get to the end or get close to the end, you're like, oh, I don't want this book to end. I just wish there would be an addendum and the author would come out and keep going. Some of you that watch series on Netflix, you're thinking, oh, I just don't want this to end. I don't want the season to end. I don't want the series to end. If you watch sports, every now and then, if it's not Alabama or Auburn involved, because when they're involved, you always want the game to end when you win. But if you get watching just something impartial and it's a good game, you're like, I wish this game would just go into quadruple overtime and keep playing because it's fun to watch. When we enjoy stuff, it's something about we don't want it to end. But here's the kicker to that, the caveat, is that everything in this life will come to an end one day, in a physical sense. Now, we understand that many of us enjoy life. Many of us have a great time in life, and things are going well. We have a good job, we got a good spouse, good kids. Obviously, things happen, but for the most part, things are going well for us. And we enjoy life. And so the issue with that is we cling to this life a little bit too much. Now understand this, that there are people in this world who don't have it that easy. There are people in this room that don't have it that easy. And so their thinking today is that I'm not clinging to life. They may be ready for the second coming. But most of us live with this mindset that we enjoy life, we love life, we fight the aging process, we fight death, we take medicine, we do all those things to prolong it. But understand also that death isn't the only thing that we will face in this earth. We all will face crisis in our life. If you live long enough, there will be trials in your life, to put the Christian term. There will be crisis. There will be physical crisis, but then there are also going to be crisis of faith in your life. In other words, there will be a time where you have to decide, do you really trust Jesus for who he says he is? And you can be a believer and your faith still waver at times. Today we're looking in, it's a little bit different but scripture than normal on Easter, but it's not really because we are still going to look at the resurrection. We're in John chapter 11, if you want to go with me. Here's the scene. Jesus loves this one particular family. There's a man by the name of Lazarus. He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary are as different as daylight and dark. As you see here, even how they approach Lazarus' death, Martha can't wait for Jesus to get in, and she comes out and approaches Jesus. Martha is the take charge type person. She's the person that plans all the events. She's the person that can't wait for you to do something, so she does it herself. Mary's more contemplative. Mary steps back. Oh, you know, it'll take care of itself. I'm not worried about it. But I want you to notice this. They are as different as daylight and dark, but the crisis still hit both of them. So no matter what type of personality you are, no matter who you are, we're all going to face things. Also, you'll notice this when we read, they both said the exact same thing to Jesus. Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would still be alive. So no matter how you view life, no matter what your personality is, we all are going to be faced with some of the same questions. We're going to go through things, and we're going to have questions. We're going to have doubts. But Jesus alleviates their doubts. He puts their doubts to rest. And he can do the same for us if we do what he says. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son So that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea. Now, that's weird, right? If somebody called you and said, hey, your daughter's sick, your son's sick, they may not make it through the night, you say, oh, that's good. We'll just stay at the beach a couple more days. We'll go check them out and get on. That's kind of weird. But Jesus has a reason for doing this. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you were going back. Jesus answered, they're not 12 hours of daylight. Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. They think he's just physically asleep. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought it was natural sleep. So when they told him plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of his disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. There's a reason for that. Jesus was setting the stage even for his resurrection. You see, some of these liberal people, scholars today, say that Jesus was in what they call swooning, that he wasn't really dead. But even though they pierced Jesus' side, and the Roman soldiers, they wouldn't have, there's no way the authorities would have let them put him in the tomb if they didn't think he's dead. The last thing they wanted was a controversy. The Roman soldiers who do this every day or every week, they looked at Jesus and they said, oh, he's dead. There's no doubting that. So they put him down, but these people that want to deny the crucifixion and the resurrection say, oh, he was just swooning, he wasn't really dead. And after 4 days, Jesus said, there's no doubt that, so I'm going to wait a couple more days, and I'm going to let them know that Lazarus really is dead. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. There were the different personalities. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it's interesting when we think about this, that Jesus, if you follow the timeline, now John doesn't cover, but if you follow the timeline in other Gospels, more than likely Jesus had already raised the widow's son from death at this point. We know for a fact that Jesus had already said to the one man, hey, your son, he's going to be healed, just go on back home. And when they got there, he was healed. The disciples have seen this. More than likely, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus have heard these stories, but yet they're still struggling. They're like, Lord, if you'd have been here, Jesus didn't have to be there to heal someone. Jesus is everywhere. But, you know, again, we're quick to get on Martha, but we do the same thing in our lives. Lord, if you just do this, if you were just there, and he is. Jesus said to her, or back at 22. But I know that even now God will give you wherever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at that last day. You see, Martha had the Old Testament scriptures to go off of. And she knew about the resurrection, but she didn't understand fully the resurrection. And Jesus said to her, I am. By the way, this is the fifth of Jesus' I am statements in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And here's the question he asked her. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside and said, the teacher's here, and he's asking for you. And then Mary got up and did the same thing. She said, you just did. Here's what I want us to look at today. Martha is like many of us. She believes in Jesus. She knew who Jesus was. She said, I believe in the Son of God. But she didn't fully understand. Her theology, so to speak, was still growing at this point in her life. And that's why Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake, so that you all can learn from this. Jesus said three things in this passage. He said, I am the resurrection and life. In other words, there is no other resurrection. He is the resurrection. Martha was going off Old Testament scriptures, and she was reading and understanding that there would be a resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said, it's not an event, Martha. I'm the resurrection. It's not that it will happen and it will. It's not that it's about the dead will come to life and all that. He's not, I am the resurrection. Now, I believe in God's word. I believe God give us his word to understand it and to know him more. But God's word is not what we worship. God's word is not what gives us life. It is how he speaks to us. But Jesus is where we get life from. Jesus is the resurrection and life. And there is no other resurrection. We have to understand that there is nobody else that has the power to do this. To resurrect means to bring dead to life. And Jesus said, Martha, look, that's me. Put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. And even in this time, Martha, of great trouble, even though your brother's sick and you think he's dead and he's not really dead, he's just asleep, even though all this stuff will happen to all of us, Jesus said, don't put your faith in anything else. Put it in me. It's like I've told you before or asked you before, and I don't know if it was C.S. Lewis or where I read it. It said, if you could have heaven, everything you want, you could live for eternity and everything's perfect, but without Jesus, would you want it? Don't answer that. Because if you say yes to that, you're missing the point. You see, so many times we get caught up in going to heaven. Heaven's just the place where Jesus is. If Jesus was somewhere else, that's where we want to be. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, Martha. It's not about anything else. So for all of us today that are struggling, and so many of you are, I know it. You're going through so many things. Jesus said, don't put your faith in anything else. But he said a second thing. He says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Well, what does that mean? Jesus here is talking about the resurrection. And if you go fast forward over to Thessalonians, where Paul talks about this, this is talking about our resurrected bodies. This is talking about our glorified bodies. This is talking about all of eternity. Jesus said, the one that believes in me will live even though he dies physically. In other words, you're going to live forever. If you understand that I am the resurrection, you will never die, Martha. You think Lazarus is dead? I'm going to show you that he's not. But even if I chose to leave him there, he's still alive. He will never die, Martha. And for those of us that have kind of a firm grasp and understanding of that, but there are some people who teach annihilation, which means that if you don't trust in Jesus, that you go and, you know, to hell for a little bit until your body and soul is annihilated and then you're just nothing out there. And some people believe some of the same things with heaven. Well, I don't know about heaven, I don't know about this, and I don't know what will happen to me. Jesus is saying, Miss Shaw just told us, if it's in the Bible, it's true. If you don't believe that, then you've got other issues. But if you believe that, Jesus said, the one that believes in me, he will live even though they die. And that's the key to it. You see, we cling to life on this earth many times because we think that's the end. But if we're believers, it's just the beginning. It really is. Now that's hard for us to grasp in our finite minds. But that's what Jesus is saying here. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. And even though your brother is dead, he's alive. Even though he appears to be dead to you. So all of us here that fight and go through all these crises and don't understand all these things, Jesus said, this is just part of it. You're getting ready for all this. And then he says the last thing. He says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says, I'm the resurrection. The one who believes in me will live, even though they never die. And whoever lives, present tense, by believing in me, you don't have to worry about dying. So Jesus said, all right, I'm the resurrection, Martha. You got that straight? If we're checking off the flashlight, okay, so you are the only way to eternal life. Yes. And if you die on this earth, that's okay. You're not really dead. You're going to be in eternity with me. Check, got that? Okay. But also, Martha, understand this, that if you believe in me, you should be living a resurrected life right now. Present tense. That's what Jesus, look at it again. Whoever lives by believing in me, will never, in other words, if you have saving faith, we don't wait to the resurrection to live this out. We live it out now. And it just looks something like this, that we don't put all of our stock in pleasure. We don't live for us. But at the same time, when we're going through all these trials and all the things that we want to question, we understand this, that we don't have to live defeated lives. Yes, Satan's going to attack you. Yes, you're going to make dumb decisions. Yes, you're going to have financial problems if you make bad decisions. Yes, there are things that will happen in your life that are completely out of your control. You have adult children who will make decisions that affect you that you have no control over. You can't control sickness. You can't control death. There are things that will happen that you cannot control. But Jesus says we don't have to live a defeated life because we know the results. We know the end. And so we are to live resurrected lives now. One of the things I just ponder, I always struggle with, and I know everybody has a different sense of life, worldview, and money, and everything. And I believe the Bible says it's prudent to leave an inheritance for your children. It's okay. But I tell my children, jokingly but truthfully, don't count on much. Okay? Because I do believe, and there's a couple of legendary billionaires that even think like this, that if you leave your children life-saving, life-changing money, it will change them. So there's nothing wrong with leaving them a little bit of money to help them out. Josie told us the other day, she goes, I think I'm going to have 6 children. I'm going to have 3 and then adopt 3. I said, who's keeping those kids when you get ready to go somewhere? I said, because I ain't big mama, and I'm going to be on a cruise ship. She said, Mom, well, I said, do you know your mama? She's worse than me. She ain't keeping them. I said, she don't even have a phone for you to call her. And she said, y'all will keep my... I said, I'm just telling you right now, you better not bring 6 kids in my house because I will shut the door. She said, you're not going to be cruising that much. I said, I'll be cruising enough. I can tell you right now. I said, I ain't raising your kids. I said, I'll help you. I said, but if you have 6, you better have a nanny or a husband with a very good job. I'm just telling you right now. And she said, and the question just kept going on. I said, look, if me and your mom make it, I said, there's no promise we'll make it. I said, but if we make it, we're going to spend most of your inheritance. I'm just telling you right now. And she said, well, that's not very nice. I said, I don't care what it is. I said, if we work hard to 60, I said, we're going to travel some. And here's the point to all that. I say that kind of joking, but it's okay to save money, but you also ought to live a little bit while you're living. I mean, you can't just save and save and save. What does the Bible, what does Solomon say? You save it for all your kids, you don't know they're going to spend it. And the one you save it for is not going to spend it, it's going to be somebody else. So why do all of that? Solomon says, live a little bit while you're living. All right? What Jesus is saying here is, yes, we have hope in the future. We do. But we also have hope right now. I mean, we don't have to live a defeated life right now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, if you live by this, if you live by living in me, you'll never die. Now, what does this look like for all of us? We've seen how Mary responded. If you go down to, skip down to 38, Jesus once more deeply moved. Came to the tomb, he'd already cried, it was a cave, and a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But the Lord said, Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you have always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, if you skip back up, you heard what Jesus just said there. And then if you skip all the way back up to verse 4, He says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus said, there's a reason that all of this is happening. And then Jesus said in 14, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Now, in other words, we see so many things in the story. We see the sovereignty of God. By the way, Jesus is fully God, so we see Jesus understands how this is all unfolding. But Jesus said, as he prayed the prayer and as he talked to his disciples, he said, Father, I know you knew I know. He said, but for the ones that are here, I'm glad that, you know, I'm about to raise Lazarus from the dead so that they may believe. And then he tells his disciples, look, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you can understand. Then you go back up to the very beginning. He said, the reason all this happens is for God's glory. Now, we understand this, that, again, it's okay to enjoy life. It really is. And I understand life is very hard. It's very difficult. But I want you to hear this, and I'm about done. That life has a way of humbling us down. If you live long enough, I promise you, you'll get humbled down. Something will happen out of your control. Crisis can happen. Sickness can happen. Lazarus wasn't an old man. But Jesus said, hey, there's a reason all these things happen. There's a reason all of this happens. And that is so you can be drawn closer to me, so that I can be glorified, so that you can understand, so that your faith can grow. You see, we get in this bad mindset of thinking life is about us. And it's not. As most of you know, Lori's a high school softball coach. The hardest thing we have to, it's really not with students and players, it's funny, is that the parents don't grasp that their kid's not the most important thing in the world. It's really hard for them to get there. And so, your role may be a pinch hitter. It's so refreshing. Lori talked to one of her ex-players yesterday, who's a college player. And she said, well, I'm not playing that much, but I pinch hit. And she said, I'm the number one pinch hitter. Coach calls on me every time he needs to hit. She said, so I'm good with that. It's my role. And Laura said, that's amazing that you accepted that. She said, well, I mean, that's just what it is. She said, there's nothing to be pouting about it. And so if you can get players to ever buy into that, that everybody's not the best player, everybody's not the three-hitter, everybody's not the star player, buying into your role, it's hard for all of us, okay? Because we want credit, we want glory, and we think life revolves around us. Now, if you can ever get a team to fully buy in, you can see things happen. You really can. That's the hardest thing at any level, is to get people to buy into the full team concept. The same thing with Christian life. When we understand that not only is the ball game not about us, that life is not about us, you say, well, what's it about? It's about bringing glory and honor to Jesus.
Right.
And so when we understand that, we start thinking, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this, but there must be a reason. You must be drawing me closer to you. Lord, I don't know why that would happen, but there's got to be a reason, and I want to see it so I can bring glory and honor to your name. And that's what Jesus is telling Mary and Martha here. There's a reason all this happened, girls. There's a reason all this stuff is unfolding. It's so I can draw you closer to me. You got to understand, Martha, that I am the resurrection. I'm what it's about. It's not about a certain event. It's about me. And if you put your faith in me, not only will you live forever, but you can live abundantly now. And that's where it's at. So let's go to this question, and then we're done. Look at what he asked Martha. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection of life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? But put yourself into that and ask yourself, do you believe this, Joe? Do you believe what I'm saying here? Because if you do, it should be a shift in how we believe, how we feel, how our heart is. Maybe some of you just want to just struggle and you've never fully let go. And we're going to give you a chance to respond to that. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, and all that? Would you stand, please? Go ahead and just bow your heads and close your eyes for one second. Brother Dave's coming. If you're visiting with us for the first time, this is how we do. We have a public invitation. We always want to give you a chance to respond to the gospel. Brother Dave and his group will sing something here in just a moment. If you want to sing, by all means, when they start singing, you sing with them. If you want to pray, you pray. The altar is always open. What that means, this thing I'm standing on here, we call this an altar. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you do that. I'm down front. I have female staff members that are in here today. If you're a female, you just need to talk to someone that's another female. We can get somebody. If you want to talk to one of our deacons, I've got deacons on the front row. They will be glad to talk to you. This is what I want you to know today. One day, all of us will die. Just like Lazarus died a physical death, one day, every one of us will die a physical death unless Jesus comes back first. Either way, if Jesus comes back or if you die a physical death, you're still going to stand before Holy God. It happens to everybody. And here's the question you're going to be asked. What did you do with Jesus? If you trusted in Jesus, if you understood that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, if you understand that, the Bible says that if you confess your sins and you believe in Jesus, you call upon Him to save you, that He will be faithful to do that. You got to repent. You got to understand you're a sinner. You got to turn. You got to turn not back to yourself, but you got to turn to God. You got to understand it's grace. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't keep it. It is all God's sustaining grace. You've got to understand all that. The Holy Spirit will move you and help you with your understanding. Then what you have to do is let go. And say, Lord, I've been trying to do it my way, and I can't do it anymore. And I want you. I don't know how to do it, but I just know I want you. For those of you here that have trusted in Jesus, you may not be living it. You may not be living that current. I am the resurrection and the life. If you live by me, some of you aren't living resurrected lives. You're living defeated lives. And we struggle trusting God and His providence. If that's you, again, the altar's open. You sing, you pray, or you do whatever God moves you to do at this point.